If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
That's right. Dave Plyer here at 720 WGN, and the pipes you're about to hear is the legendary Gary Meyer. Gary.
The pipes. Your bathroom has pipes. Yeah. Who cares?
Right? You know you're not even getting scale for this. You know that, right?
Scale?
Yeah.
No, I can do it as a courtesy to you, David.
That's so nice.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely.
I always enjoy spending time with you on the 50,000 water.
Yeah, on the blower. We had such an interesting week. Earlier this week, you were on the WGN Morning News in a mystery guest thing.
Yes.
Yes, and it took him a minute.
Yes, it did. Even when I use my... You have your voice disguised backstage, and then they asked you different questions, yeah. And nothing was happening there, so I was told to use my regular voice. They didn't even know that voice anymore.
Yeah.
Wow, how long has it been?
And then we're like, where do we go for breakfast? And where do you go? You know, there's always someone going to be there, you know, is Manny's delicatessen. And you always talk about the vortex. And we started hearing your name, which they didn't see you, I don't believe it, up front. I heard Gary. I heard Stephen Gary. I heard all this other stuff. And we're like, well, we should go tell him that you're, you know, whatever. And it was people we know.
Yeah, yeah.
But at the end of the day, you said, you know, there's a vortex. There's something going on. He goes, like, Surratt's going to walk in here next. And Bob walked in next.
5 minutes later, Bob walked in. Yeah. As we pulled into the parking lot, I said, we'll probably run into Bob Surratt. He likes coming here.
Yeah.
There he was.
Yeah.
20 minutes later.
Yeah. The turkey leg was great.
And you ordered this gigantic leg that you can only usually get at the Renaissance Fair in Wisconsin back in the day.
Yeah.
Would ye like a turkey leg?
It was really, I cut it up. I wanted to look, you know, polite and not just throw it up.
Yeah, it was a Flintstone size.
It was Flintstone size for sure. So, you know, summer in Chicago, love summer in Chicago, but you discovered one of the suburbs that you thought was pretty cool. I mean, right?
Well, I've always loved Rosemont, and a friend suggested we go. They do a concert series all summer, and last night they had a Doobie Brothers tribute band. And we went, and we were getting ready to set up our lawn chairs, and we looked at the radar, and it was all orange and yellow.
Yeah.
And about 2 minutes away, so we went to one of the restaurants that are on the perimeter of this square that they have the concerts in.
Tons of stuff.
Had a great meal while it poured, and then that stopped, and the band came out. That was great. But here's what I really loved. And to me, Rosemont is the template for all towns in America. That should be the template.
Yeah.
Run your town like Rosemont.
Yeah, that's
I've
true.
Always loved going there for everything. But as you're sitting there watching the concert, the planes are taking off from ORD right there.
Yeah.
That is so great. And then at the end, it was a half hour of fireworks.
Yeah.
They
did in between the rain, I'm assuming, right? In between the rain.
Well, here's what happened.
Yeah.
The Doobie Brother adjacent guy said, we can only do one more song because they said there's another storm coming.
Yeah.
And they did the song, but they must have factored in that they had the fireworks.
Oh, yeah.
They did a half hour of fireworks, and then we got in the car, and then it started raining, but it was all spectacular.
Yeah.
And the parking was free.
Yeah.
And it's a free concert.
Yeah.
What don't you like there?
We haven't decided what we're going to do. You know, you do your cocktail hour on Fridays. We're going to do our cocktail hour. It might be in Rosemont. So you'll just have to guess if you want to come see here. We're in Rosemont.
Okay.
Yeah. It could be at Denny's. It could be anywhere.
They serve cocktails, Dave?
I don't think they do. No, we'll bring our own. We got to bring our own. Rosemont is a great place. We were talking about the fact that I grew up in Schiller Park, and both towns were exactly the same when I was growing up. There was nothing there except for that one sole restaurant on the corner of River Road.
The Tasty Platter. I worked in Des Plaines in the 70s. It was the Tasty Platter. Down the street was a driving range and a go-kart track. That was it. And then when Mr. Don Stevens, the mayor, decided, that's enough of that. Now it's the mini metropolis.
Yeah. Brad's running the place now.
His son.
Yeah, his son is doing it too now. The Hyatt Regency was probably the only thing. I think when I was in high school, after prom, that's where we went to Carson.
And they had this rotating restaurant, the Blue Max.
Yes. Which were a thing at some point.
Yes.
You always want to spin when you eat your food.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't that fast. That reminds me of Mill Run and their spinning stage. And yeah, you could get sucked into it when it got going really fast.
On the river in St. Charles or Geneva or whatever that was, right?
No, it was
Mill Run. Oh, Mill Run. Niles.
Yeah, yeah.
trying to think who I saw there. I think my mother took me to, I know you're going to have a much more luxurious list of people that you saw there, but I think it was Victor Borga.
Oh, geez. Come on.
That's my mom.
Google that.
Yeah, Google that. Who did you see there?
I got to introduce the Little River Band.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and my former partner and I, Steve and I, played there. And it was right after there was a bad tornado, I guess, as opposed to a good tornado that came through town. And we got a lot of debris and put it on stage, and we did a tornado show. Oh, very
got some debris.
Very theme, yes, very theatrical.
Was it an? It probably wasn't an enclosed mall in the '70s, was it?
I don't remember the mall.
Was
there.
The SS Kresge still there?
Yeah, Kresge's. Wow, Google that.
Google that too. I know. I don't know what to talk about. Got a texter 708 Gary. Oh my God, dreams do come true.
What happened?
Well, you being on the air.
Well, thank you. I spent a number of years here and really enjoyed it. And some of the clips you played at the beginning were made here at WGN, and you still have them.
Yeah. That one, I think, was Loop. That was
the first one. Oh, but the other stuff that was done here.
Oh, yeah, it was all here.
Yes.
It was Duff. It was Chris that put those together.
Mr. Duffy was the production guy, and he was great. He was so good.
That was your show open, and you always talked to Skilling. Did you talk to Skilling twice a day?
Yes, 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock. Yeah. Yes, and he will be on a little later here. Oh, my word.
Yeah. I was telling Gary that we talked very briefly. Well, not very briefly. It was about 20 minutes. But, Tom, like, I don't understand how he can retire. I said hi, and it was 18 minutes of telling me about the river overflowing down in Texas and the front that we were getting yesterday and the volcano in Hawaii. Like, his mind is constantly
working.
Will
he be telling us about the tornado watch here?
Possibly.
Even though he's in Hawaii. And if you've ever had a tornado watch, I got one for Christmas. When the big hand is on your roof and the little hand is on your trampoline, seek shelter.
Yeah, there's a tornado watch happening. And we sometimes replay the show, so if you're listening on Saturday, no tornado watch.
Okay.
Just
Hey.
Yeah.
It's right now. And the other thing I observed sitting here, the studio overlooks the Chicago River, and there are a bunch of people in these kayaks down there.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking there's only about an inch of kayak between you and the Chicago River water.
I will also say that if you look really closely, I see this all the time, people are on their phones while they're kayaking.
Come on.
You can't focus for 5 minutes and just kayak. Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're navigation.
Well,
they're
I'd be worried about losing it in the poo-poo water.
Yeah.
There are big Wendella boats going by, and you're in this dinky little thing. Yeah. What is the pleasure there?
Yeah, I don't want to. I love the boats. I love taking the Chicago. We were just talking to Jeffrey Bear about the architectural boat tour, which you said you did. Did you do that last
year? I've never
done
it, but everybody I've talked to says it's fantastic.
Like, I live here, and I learn something new all the time.
Yeah.
And if you get a Jeffrey Bear that jumps on for a little bit and subs, glorious.
I never did the boat tour, but I did have a friend who had a beautiful old Chris Craft he docked nearby,
like a wood one?
In the river area here downtown. And one of the most spectacular days of my life was spent on Lake Michigan. We went out on a beautiful summer day, going through the locks and all that, and just hanging in what I call the bathtub, they call the playpen, whatever they call it.
The
spectacular. Yeah. But that's the beauty of the city, where you've got beaches in a big city.
Yeah.
They need to promote some of that stuff more than the ugly stuff that keeps going out.
If you're a 70-something insurance guy and you got a boat, you get everybody on your boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what that is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of havoc that happens in the playpen, so I'm told. Being, all this time living in the Windy City for yourself, first of all, you mentioned Des Plaines. Was one of the radio stations that you worked at?
Yes, it was WYEN.
Okay. What was the first one for you?
WFYR.
Okay, it was the fire.
That they played oldies, and it was all automated, so all I did was put the tapes on a big machine and then record the news and the weather and plug it in.
Was it fire because of the Chicago fire? Because it was FYR.
Yeah, boy, that's a good tie-in. That was a great day in the city when it all burned down. let's tie into that.
I did something with Roger Badish where we figured out and did all the research on what all the call letters were for, and there's some odd ones in there.
It was FYR, yes.
Yeah, this one's easy. World's greatest newspaper.
Oh, the world's greatest newspaper. Yeah, wow, yeah, to make that claim.
MAQ was, what was that, Ben?
I don't remember if that stood for anything.
It did stand for something. He'll jump in.
Google it.
Google it.
That's what Google's for. They're going to have their big headquarters over here.
Good to have Tom and Gary back is great. Poor Tom, Gary would give him funny writing assignments.
I gave, no, that was Jim Ramsey.
Oh, that was Jim.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. He was I wanted to play off that Tim Allen campaign about Michigan. Remember those commercials?
Oh, yeah.
And then in the morning, you go down and take your fishing pole in Michigan. And Jim Ramsey had that kind of tonality to his voice.
Oh,
and I
did.
Thought, this is perfect. When he would fill in for Tom, I would write him these scripts about promoting Chicago and Illinois, but it was all kind of a sideways promotion. Yeah, and look out for the rats on Lower Wacker.
It was almost like Tommy Newsom when Doc sat in for Ed. It was like Tommy coming in.
Google that.
Yeah. I know. I'm talking about
Dave,
a lot of old
stay
crap.
In 21st I century
I can't help
references.
It. You know, I'm working on this Carson thing. It's really hard. Texter 630 WMAQ. We must ask questions.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. VON.
Well, I remember WMAQ is going to make you rich. They had this campaign. You had to answer your phone with that.
Yeah.
If you didn't, you didn't. And everybody thought, well, they're calling me when the phone rings. WMAQ is going to make me rich. And they would have people just saying that all the time, but almost nobody got rich. But it was a great campaign for them.
It was a great campaign.
Yes.
And everybody was listening to GN and LS probably
at
the time.
The bumper stickers were omnipresent, as were the Tommy Bartlett bumper stickers out of the Dells.
Yeah.
Because when you went to that show, they would send people out and put them on your car whether you wanted it or not.
Google
and
that.
They were everywhere.
Google that.
Back in the day.
Google that.
Google that. Uh-oh.
Or Gary Meyer. We're going to do 3-1. I hope. Oh no, I'm not going to read that one. All right, 3-1.
Come on, those are the fun.
No, I'm not doing that one. 312-981-7200. If you want to talk to Gary, more Gary next. All right, Dave Plyer, Gary Meyer in studio. 312-981
subdivision. Little rush here. Wow, look at you.
Well, you know, I do think about. Good music radio back in the day, and this is a song that I know would always pop up.
If you were or are a Rush fan and went to one of their concerts, talk to somebody who's gone to one, and it's Nirvana to them.
I've heard that. I've seen the setup on the stage and everything, and the speakers and all the whole thing. They do a big deal. Rock bands that are out right now, like when you see somebody that was big in the 70s and they're like playing the, you know, the Frankfurt festival, what do you think about those things?
Well, a friend of mine said that to me. He said, you know, Ringo's coming to Frankfurt. I lived in Frankfurt, and a Beatles going to be here?
No, is that true?
Yes. Oh. I think the All-Star Band played there.
Wow.
Last year.
Wow.
And
that's crazy.
You play because you like doing it, and that's the venue that you can play.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters at that point. You've decided this is going to be the tour, and if you make a few shekels, fine.
George Bliss sending me radio call letters, what the meanings are.
George Bliss is a friend of mine and knows everything about that. Did he confirm WMAQ?
Did he confirm that one? Let's see here. I don't know, something about Eddie Schwartz. Oh, here we go.
BBA. Yes.
CFL was Federation of Labor, of course.
Okay.
I think it's We Broadcast Better Music is BBM.
Okay.
Seriously.
Well, this is all good to know. These are great passwords.
Google that. Google some more of that. No, like when I've talked to Kevin Cronin more recently, too, and he's going to be on tonight from REO, but there's no REO anymore. They decided at some point that, you know, only Kevin was the guy going out there doing it. He was giving everybody their cut, but they just kind of made it stop. But he's going to still do it. He's still going to do the songs.
Well, a lot of these guys are in their 70s and 80s. McCartney is going out on tour again.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I can watch with the voice going the way it's going for Paul. It's not the Paul McCartney that I know and love from the day.
The 80s? He's in his
80s. Yeah, right? He's in his early 80s.
I got David on the line from Downers Grove. You're on 720 WGN. David, how are you?
Hey, guys. Doing really well. By the way, Spirit of the Radio was my ninth grade theme song.
See?
Love that song.
Yes.
I'm 60. So I could still recite that song word for word. It's seared into my memory.
Yes, Jesus, Rush fans are rabid about all that stuff.
Yeah, ninth grade. I tried to impress upon my 18-year-old son about how, dude, this was the song.
Yeah.
I was in ninth grade. 1979.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than having that generational drop off when you start talking about something and they look at you like you're crazy. I remember my daughter bought a turntable because it's retro, and all the kids were buying one. And I said, "Oh, let me go get my 45s." And she looked at me, "What's a 45?"
Oh my God!
Yeah. I tried to drag my son into a record store in Lamont a couple of weeks ago during a car show, and he's like, "What?"
Yeah, it's too. Hey, it's too. I posted a picture of a woman in a record store on my Facebook page this week, and I'll tell you what, you can say, "Oh, that's old school," but you got to go to a record store. Other people were there, very communal. And you're flipping through those albums.
Artwork, I mean, beautiful artwork, and it's a whole thing.
And now everything is, you can do it at home. You don't leave your house half the time.
The whole needle, he could understand the concept of the needle on the record.
Yeah.
Why would you put a needle on a record?
I will say, though, if you walk into a record store now, I will still spend a half hour, 40 minutes in there.
It's more than just the records. It's the whole thing
that we enjoyed. And the 8-track
band. Experience.
Yeah.
Totally experience.
David, thanks for the call, buddy. Go ahead.
I just wanted to share a memory with Gary. Gary, millions of times, I don't know how many times you and Steve were at the Holiday Star Theater in Merrillville, which is now flattened out. It's nothing there. Oh, nothing
really?
There anymore.
Oh, gone.
My dad had Celebrity Circle front row seats for every show, so whenever Steve and Gary were there, I was there with my three best buddies.
It's funny you brought that. Yeah, it's funny you brought that up, David. I had this conversation yesterday with somebody about that show, because we had motorbikes on stage. I'm not good on two-wheel vehicles, and I got on this thing and gave it some gas, went off the front of the stage. Thank God there was another platform about 2 feet down. I landed on that and then went off that into the front row. I don't know, I might have hit your father.
Oh, my God.
That's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, that was scary stuff. We did a lot of fun stuff there.
I would say that when I would rollerblade, I would just find someone's garage to stop me. That's how it would work.
Yeah. Okay.
Two wheels, exactly. All right, we got Tom Skilling coming up after the news, 312-981-7200. Gary Meyer in studio. News is next.
It's time to do my little segment with Tom Skilling. Tom appears on my program twice a day. Oh, I hit my head. I'm flashing back. Mr. Tom Skilling from our 50th. Tom, I had you on my show a few weeks ago right after you did that skydive for WGN-TV. And I said, first question, were you nervous? And, oh, no, it's the safest thing. That a couple days ago, two guys at the same location you jumped from collided. One man fell to his death. How do you feel now?
Oh, you know what, Gary? They don't kid you. You see a little video before you go out telling you essentially you're engaging in dangerous activity and everything will be done to be as safe as possible. But, there were something like, I think, 3.7 million skydives in the United States last year, and there were 9 fatalities. So that means you're effectively safer driving in your car than you are. I mean, skydiving than you are driving in your car.
Yeah, but I have to drive in my car. I don't have to jump out of a plane when it's working.
Well, I blame Jackie Bang on that.
Oh, sure.
You know how that happened? She poked her head in the day I announced that I was retiring, and she said, "Oh, congratulations." And I said, "Well, Jackie, now that I'm retiring with all this extra time on my hand, I'm going to be able to skydive." And her eyes lit up, and I was kidding. But her eyes lit up, and I had Catherine Zink, one of our producers, next to me. We were working on another story at the time, and her eyes lit up. So I realized I had unwittingly committed to a skydive. But I'll tell you something. It was fascinating. I made up my mind, Gary and Dave, that I was going, no matter what, how terrified I was looking out that door, 14,000 feet below at the ground. And it was, believe me, it was pretty wild, but they hurry you out the door, which is good, because once you go out that door, there's no discussing it.
You're strapped to another guy, and he's pulling the cord and all that. And Jackie Bang, I talk about this often, name theories. Certain names will forecast what will happen to you or what you'll end up doing, and I just worry because her name is Jackie Bang. But she's done 10,000 jumps.
I know that's crazy.
10,000, not... Yeah. Exaggerating, because I did a piece on her doing this years ago, and she would do a dozen a day.
Is she trying to get out of weekends?
You know what? I said to her, I said, Jackie, how did you get into doing this? And she said, well, I went out and did a story on it back in 1989, 36 years ago.
Wow.
And she said, I loved it. So I started doing it. And you ought to see Jackie. She went out for a dive after I got down. So I was able to watch her form as she was landing. I mean, Jackie really knows what she's doing.
Well, I hope
and
so.
Her jump count, by the way, Gary, is 2,000 jumps, but it's over 36 years.
Oh, 2,000. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought you
said 10,000 when I talked to you a few weeks ago. 2,000, 10,000 doesn't matter. It's a lot.
It was a lot, and I did say 10,000. I was in error, so it's 2,000.
Okay. All right. Now I'm going to stop you right there, Tom, to remind you of something else you did years ago. Get an email from Tom. Hey, I'm having a party at my place, and the date was on there. And so come on, you and your wife, da-da-da. All right. I look at the date. It's a Monday or Tuesday. I thought, okay, well, I don't care. It's a party at Tom's. My wife and I get a bottle of wine. We go to his building.
Right.
I say to the doorman, I'm here for Tom Skilling. And he calls up, and you could tell there was a hesitation. And the doorman goes, okay, go on up. And I go up and knock on the door, and Tom is in his pajamas or something. And he goes, hi, what's going on? I go, I'm here for the party. That party's on Friday.
Oh.
I said, Tom, you sent me an email.
I know.
But you were nice enough. We came in and we visited for a while. I went home and I pulled it up again. It was that night. You gave me the wrong day.
Oh, I did.
Yes.
I blew it. And you and Cindy were so gracious.
What were they going to do? We're here. We got the wine. Let's drink it.
Were you in your pajamas, Gary?
We certainly were. That was the theme of the party, as it turned out.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like a big sleepover. No, you know what? You and Cindy were so nice about that. I think if somebody had done that to me, I'd be ready to throttle them.
No, but that's what I mean. I said 10,000, and then that's what I heard. And then you go, oh, no, it's 2,000. But I did say 10,000. I just want to make sure I don't look like I'm not as dumb as I look sometimes.
Oh, you're not dumb.
But that's debatable.
You're as sharp as a tack. I'm telling you something. Gary, you caught me up. You realize you caught only the two errors I've made in my life.
Right.
One, inviting you guys 4 days
at the wrong
early
day.
Yeah, and telling you that Jackie had gone out for 10,000 dives. Other than that, Gary, I haven't goofed on anything.
Tom and I have done some great things together, just socially.
By the way, that's why I said to you, and I said it to Tom yesterday, I'm just going to shut off my mic. I love listening to you guys. I feel like I'm driving home in my car and listening to you guys talk on the air.
And it's very dangerous in your car. You should parachute home.
Right now it is.
Tom and I went to see this group. I took him to see this group, Fab Foe. They are best Beatles replicant band you can possibly see.
We talked about that, yeah.
But the thing about going out with Tom in Chicago, it's like being with a Beatle.
Oh, yeah.
This man is known by everybody in this city. But that band I love introducing Tom to different things. I took him to the Goodman to see Brian Dennehy in a play.
Oh,
and
that's
cool. Brian Dennehy.
What a great man.
Great.
That kind of stuff that we've enjoyed together. And when you were on my show on WGN, boy, those segments were the most talked about. We really had a good time, and you rarely talked about weather.
Yeah. You know, it was interesting. I always said, Gary, I said, Gary, you know, I feel like I'm an anchor dragging you down, and you cut me loose.
Come on.
Get out of here.
And you said, Gary said, no, let's do it. And I'll never forget the first day that I worked with you. It had been after one of these horrendous weekends where there had been like 300 shootings or something like that. Some terrible number.
Tom, that's just called a weekend here.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm sitting here listening to Gary. He's opening his show. He says, now, come on. He said, 300 shootings. We can do better than that. Oh. And I was horrified. I thought, you know.
My word.
This guy has guts. And then I thought to myself, you know, there's no other way to handle that than with gallows humor. It's so horrible. And, you know, I've said to Gary many times, we need you back on the radio.
Wow.
In this day and age, we need your incisive sense of humor.
Well, I've done this a long time. I always enjoy being on the radio, and I thank David for inviting me. I did some other radio this week, too, and this is something that I'll always be passionate about. I don't care how many changes it goes through and this and that. I always love it.
I have some breaking texts. One says, I'm in heaven right now. Listen to you two guys.
Because they sky dove, and that didn't work out.
Wait, here's the other one. This is breaking news. A flying Elvis died jumping off a plane. Just so you know.
Oh, really?
Just so you know.
Yeah.
Dave, you know something? I've got to tell you. Yeah. This is the most unlikely friendship. If you had told me years ago when Gary and Steve were doing Tommy Skillethead that this was going to happen, I would have said you were crazy.
Yeah.
But, you know, I used to listen to them, those guys, and they do the Tommy Skillethead bit. And I remember we did a thing together at Park West Theater. Gary one day when I was listening said, you know, he said, we make fun of this guy all the time. He called me the Walt Disney of weather. And he said, you know, we make fun of this guy, but he really does a pretty good job with the weather. And I thought Gary was the first one to say that. I'll never forget that. Never forget that. And we have developed a friendship, which is just outstanding.
I love this man so much. And and the funny story that Tom tells about when we started to make fun of you, you thought, oh, my God, my career is over. And then other people at WGN TV came up to him. Can you get those guys to make fun of me? Because you became a huge character in the city.
Oh, my gosh. You guys made me famous. You introduced me. Seriously. Yeah. They introduced me to a demographic who never would have watched my programs, never. And they tuned in to see who this creep was that they were talking about. It's amazing. And I remember people saying to me, because I did think my career was over. I figured that finished it off. But then Steve said, I was downtown one day and a cop walked up to me and he said, do you hear what those two do to you every afternoon? He says, you know, he says, I work here outside the Hancock building. The studio's up there. He said, you want me to give them crap or anything like that? And I said, heavens, no, it's the best thing that ever happened.
You want me to beat the hell out of them with my club?
No.
Now, let me just say something, though. Gary and Steve were on LS, The Loop, and Kevin Matthews on The Loop, and they made fun of, they used to come up down to the showcase and yell at Uncle Bobby, and they'd be making fun of Eddie Schwartz, and these guys are making fun. Yeah. And by the way, they're doing WGN Radio now. Just telling you, it comes full circle.
Well, that didn't get lost to me the first day I was on WGN. I thought, oh, my God, we made so much fun of this place. But we did it. It was somewhat calculated. WGN was the number one radio station. Yeah. We thought, we're just starting off. Why don't we hit the big boy and see where it goes? And they bit. Wally Phillips, who did mornings on this station, he started talking about us. It was the same thing. So he starts talking about us. His audience gets curious, comes down the dial. Here we are.
First of all of it coming together.
Yes.
See? Full circle.
Well, you know, it's what they always say. There's no such thing as bad publicity. I mean, as long as they spell your name right, anybody who's talking about any of us, you know, there's a certain number of people that will wonder who they're talking about and check it out.
This might be my opinion only, but Chicago, when it had its greatest percussion and fizz nationwide, when it was with Siskel and Ebert, Oprah, Mike Ditka, Harry Carey.
Cubs on GM. Right.
Yes.
Bozo.
All that spinning at the same time gave the city national presence, and the negative stuff kind of got pushed aside because we had bigger things.
Right.
Doesn't have that right now that I know of. And when the Bulls were with Jordan and Pippen, I would refer to them as the Black Beatles, because when they would go to another city, they were the star no matter the home team.
No matter who they were.
Yes.
Absolutely. Who they were playing. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, Gary, I cannot. I probably have a better feel for it than even you do. You were so close to it. The high regard and the love that you are held in is just amazing. And I can't tell you the number of times people have said to me, boy, do I miss Gary. And I miss hearing you two talking. And Gary, you were steadfast. I really thought I was, a problem for you.
Come on.
But you always, you stuck by me, and you are loyal to a T to anybody who you befriend. And I'll never forget. We've done some great things. That dinner we had Brian Dennehy. He was doing a one-man show.
Yeah.
And Gary called me up. He said, look, he said, I've got an extra ticket, and my wife can't, Cindy can't make it. So you want to go and see Brian Dennehy? And we went down to the, where was it, Gary? It was
the Goodman Theater.
Goodman Theater. And so Gary, Dennehy did two shows. He would do one, and then there was a break between them. And it was during that time we went to the pub right there. He had a Diet Coke, and it was, you know, we sat and talked. And it would,
yeah,
it was
Brian so Dennehy, nice. He came on our show once right after Silverado, if you remember that movie, where he was great, and struck up a conversation afterwards and then became friends, and to watch him perform was such a treat. This amazing. Man was unbelievable as an actor.
He was. And on top of that, nice. Really
yeah,
nice.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. It was just so good to get know him to that level.
I know.
Yeah, and I was glad to introduce you to him. So something is beeping. David, do we have to go on alert?
It's a marine warning. No, and David will jump into it when we get back from...
guys, I'm watching the radar here. You got some formidable storms coming in with that tornado watch that's out. They're moving in on DeKalb right now. And I've just gone through Rockford. There have been 80-mile-an-hour wind gusts with this thing, and 1-inch diameter hail.
Jeez.
And you've had a hot, humid day, and the atmosphere is about ready to do its thing with all that heat.
The atmosphere, like the Middle East, very unstable.
By the way, Tom is retired.
Yeah, right, right. Tom, should people cover their rabbit cages right now?
They should.
Okay.
They should, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
we're gonna
Gary always had fun with these watches and warnings that all of us in the weather, you know, we weather types put
all right.
And it, you always put it in perspective. But isn't it something? You know, Gary, Dave, has a philosophy that things that happen in life are pre-programmed. And that every now and then life gives us an idea that friendships and all that we didn't expect were supposed to happen. We found out that Gary's wife, Cindy, was born in the same hospital was born in.
Yeah, my wife
in Pittsburgh,
and Tom.
Pennsylvania.
Same hospital.
That's a lie.
Yeah, that is pretty weird. All right, Tom, we got a break. Tom, hold on. Hold on, Tom. Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. Gary Meyer, Tom Skilling, 312-981-7200. More next.
Funny story. Gary Meyer on the G. It lingered there. Tom Skilling with me. Every June 1st on WGN, I'd play Sinatra's Summer Wind.
That's why I played it for you.
And about the third time in, after I played it, I got called to the boss's office after the show. We don't have a music license. We can't play music, so stop doing that. Thank you.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Ah, the old days.
Yeah, the old days. So Tom lives in our 50th, and he was witnessing a volcano eruption.
Yeah.
Talk about that, brother.
And by the way, guys, I'm back and forth between Chicago. So people think I live out here. I was out at this Kilauea volcano yesterday. Wow. I came out here in 2018 to see the big eruption then that took out hundreds of houses, had people evacuating and all. Now, the volcano eruptions now at Kilauea are occurring down in the deep in its caldera, but it is amazing. I went out there yesterday, and for 9 hours, this thing was sending volcanic or molten lava 1,200 feet into the air. And to put that in perspective, that would be like if that volcano was erupting in Chicago, it'd be like it was sending volcanic lava up to the height of, well, greater than the Hancock building, close to the Sears Tower building. It's always going to be.
I know,
Sears
same
Tower
here.
To
always,
me,
but, always. I know.
Yeah. But this was amazing. And I've gotten to know the park down here. It's about 100 miles south of where I normally go here on the Big Island. So it's about a 2-hour drive. And you drive over this highway that goes over the top of the island here to the other side. And from 80 miles away, you can see this pyrocumulonimbus cloud. It's a big thunderhead that develops over these hot volcanoes because of all the heat they're releasing. Towers 30,000 feet in the atmosphere. You can see that 80 miles away. But it was amazing, guys. It was really.
So what do? You bring a bucket, try to catch some of the lava? What is that all about?
Bring a bucket.
No, you know, I put up a bunch of pictures on my Facebook page, and people were saying, aren't you foolish being that close? You're over a half a mile away where you're looking at it. And
the man jumped out of an airplane. He loves danger.
Oh yeah, yeah. I'm telling you, I'm getting very freewheeling in my old age.
I like it. I like it. But, yeah.
But you're nowhere near the lava or anything like that. You're just looking at it about a half a mile away. But it's stunning. I mean, it really is amazing.
Well, yeah, it's fire coming from the center of the earth. I mean, how can it not be stunning? And as you said, if that was happening in Chicago, well, that would be good instead of NASCAR.
Sure.
Yeah, that would rattle a couple of cages, huh?
Yes.
No question about it. No, it really is a sight to see. Well, that's how the Hawaiian Islands were born.
That's all volcanic residue.
Oh, yeah. There's another island forming. It's 3,000 feet under the ocean. By the way, the Pacific is very deep here. You go 6 miles offshore, the depth of the water is 6,000 feet. You go 12 miles offshore, the depth goes to 15,000 feet. Can you imagine that?
That's why I stay by the pool.
I know.
And that's why you should, too, because you almost got killed by a riptide there.
Yeah, hello.
I did. My roommate and my WGN colleague, Sean Lewis, pulled me out of the water. I got stupidly went in swimming.
That's,
on this
stay
theater.
Away from that damn ocean. It's got sharks and things. Now, the pool, one end is 3 feet. Deep end, 10 feet. That's all you need.
Gary, Tom seems to forget that not everybody knows he's Tom frickin' Skillet.
That's right.
Well, that's true.
Dave, how are you?
I'm good. I'm great. I'm just having a ball listening to this.
Right?
Oh, I'll tell you. It's so good to hear your voice, Dave. I'll tell you, I miss talking to you.
Well, I will tell you guys, I hate to do it, but I'm going to have to wrap things up.
All right.
Yeah, it's that time. But I am so thrilled. I want to do this again. I mean, let's jump on the air every so often and do it. Yeah, please.
Great.
We would love it. Thank you for the
chance. Thanks, Tom. Love you.
My dear friend, Gary. Gary, I love you, too. And, guys, I love you all.
Ditto. Ditto, Tom. Ditto, Tom.
Ditto.
I just wanted to make sure I turned on my mic back on before we went to break.
Sorry.
I told you. I wanted you guys to do it.
Did you get a complete sentence in, Dave?
Yeah, not really. That's okay. I loved listening to these guys. Tom, Gary, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
Tom, thanks for taking time out of your day in Hawaii and in studio, Gary. Appreciate it, brothers.
Anytime, Dave. A real privilege.
Love you guys. Talk to you soon.
You bet.